It's good for us to be able to come together this morning and to study from God's Word. I'd like for us to conclude this morning a series of lessons that we've done over the past few months concerning ourself and the importance of studying self, looking at self in light of God's Word. We began our series looking at a lesson entitled Give Up, Give Over, and Give In. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 that if we come after Him, we are to deny ourself. We need to get self out of the way. We need to give ourself over to Christ. Let Him be in the driver's seat. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it is not I that live. He's talking about himself. Self is not ruling Paul, but Christ who lives in me. So we need to get out of the way and let Christ be in the driver's seat. Self is probably one of the most important topics that we could ever look at in life. So the first lesson that we looked at was the idea of getting self out of the way, denying self, and letting Christ have His way with us. Our second lesson was looking at some problems of self. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about how that grievous times are going to come and some are going to fall away from the faith and there's going to be some problems. And what was the very first thing listed there in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Out of all of those bad things that are listed, what was the very first one? Do you remember? Lovers of self. Lovers of self. And so we looked at problems that come about when self gets in the way. Selfishness, self-conceit, other problems, self-deception, other kinds of self-righteousness, other problems that are caused. Lovers of self. And so if we say to ourselves, well, I don't really need to get self out of the way, there's going to be some problems. Then in our third installment, or our third lesson, we talked about Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 27, where he says there that everyone who striveth in the games exerciseth self-control. And so a lesson on self-control, controlling our temper, controlling our attitude. And of course, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:23. Self-control is something that we're to add to our faith and virtue and knowledge. We're to add self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1. And so a lesson in the importance on self-control. I want to conclude this morning by looking at the statement now in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examining yourselves, or examining self. Look at that word, examine. Examine. Examination. Do we like to take a test? Do we like to take an exam? I remember in school, I didn't like that. You probably didn't like that, especially when it was a pop test or a pop quiz. We don't like exams. We don't like tests. And I remember times in school when I was not ready for the exam. I had not studied. And so we get stressed out. We get bothered by that. What kind of a grade am I going to make? But Paul says, look at 2 Corinthians 13. He says, examine yourselves. We have to take a test ourselves, and we do that each day. It's not a one-time thing. It's not an option. It's not an opinion. It's not a choice. This is a command. Examine yourself. We are to take a self-exam or take a self-test. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Have you ever thought about how important and necessary tests and exams are? Have you ever thought about that? There are times in life where we really want the person to have passed a test or an exam. There are important and necessary exams that need to be taken. Let me ask you this. When you go to the doctor, do you want him to have passed a medical exam, or does it really matter if he did that or not? You want him to have passed that medical exam. He's probing around in you and poking around in you, and you want him to know what he's doing. How does he know that he passed a test or he didn't? Oh yeah, you want tests. You want tests. You're driving down Memorial Boulevard in Springfield, and you come to an intersection. Do you want everybody sitting around that intersection in a vehicle, do you want them to have passed a driver's test? Oh, absolutely. You want them to know about red and green and who's supposed to turn left and when and where and all of that, right? Yeah, we want tests. We want exams. We know that they're important. We know that they're important for comprehension. Do they know the material? Here's a person sitting in a vehicle. Does he know that he's supposed to wait? Here, I'm coming. He's supposed to wait till I get by before he turns left. Do we want him to comprehend that? Absolutely. You see, we know the importance of tests. If we need a lawyer, we want him to have passed the bar, right? The bar what? Exam. The bar exam, right? We want the doctor to know, you see. And then we also understand the importance of tests and exams with regard to our own physical health. What do tests and exams do with regard to our own personal health? They detect any problems that might be there. That's how we detect some cancers, physical exams. We want to go for a checkup. We want to go for a blood test so that we can see what's going on. So we understand the importance of all of that. Paul is saying in a spiritual realm, there is that same importance. But the most important exam of all is the exam in life. It's spiritual. It's every day. We examine ourselves. Am I in the faith? Look at what Paul says there again in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Some versions say, try or test or examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Look at that. It's a test every day. Am I in the faith? We'll talk about what that means in a minute. But that's a spiritual exam that we have to take every day. Am I in the faith? Is Jesus Christ in me? Or know you not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you be reprobate. Matthew's version says, unless you fail the test. The most important exam that we take, and we take it every day, is, am I in the faith? Is Christ really in me? And that's what we want to talk about and close our series with this morning. What are these words that Paul uses here in this verse? Well, first of all, he says, try your own selves. Some versions say examine. Peirazete means a trial, a test, an examination. And it's in a good sense, for the purpose of ascertaining quality. Am I the Christian that Christ wants me to be? It was used in a non-spiritual way to ascertain the quality of a metal, to ascertain the quality of any kind of physical thing. You test it to see what it's like. But in a spiritual sense, it's to ascertain the quality of what we are as a Christian. It's not, well, I'm inside a Church of Christ building, so I'm definitely going to heaven. No, not necessarily. We're going to see that there are other ways of ascertaining that. It doesn't matter whether we're in a building or not. Well, will I come on Sunday and I come? No, there's other things that we need to consider. And then Paul says, try your own selves or test or examine your own selves whether you are in the faith. Then look at this second word he uses in verse 5. Prove your own selves. That's a different word. Dokimazete means to test or to examine, to prove, to scrutinize. When you scrutinize something, what do? You look at it what? Closely. It's like looking at something under a microscope. You don't just say, oh, I'm fine, and then walk on. No, wait a minute. Let's look at myself carefully, as if I were under a microscope or a magnifying glass, to see whether a thing is genuine or not. I think about maybe going to the jeweler, and what does he do? He gets out that magnifying glass and he puts it up on his eye and he's looking at that diamond. Is it a fake or not? He knows what to look for. Honestly, I don't know if I would know what to look for. I wouldn't know if I were looking at glass, zirconium, a diamond. I don't know how to ascertain that, but a jeweler does. And they get that and they look at that carefully and they turn it around. Oh, that's just a fake, or that's a real diamond. That's what that word is doing there. That's what that word means. So number one, we need to ascertain whether or not we are a faithful Christian. Number two, we need to scrutinize and look carefully to see if we're genuine or not. Just the outward appearance is not going to get it. Well, I'm in a building on Sundays, and so I'm definitely right with God. No, it's going to involve more than that. And then Paul says, your own selves. Test, examine, prove your own selves. This morning, we're looking at self. And that's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Do you know what's easier to do? Is look at what? Look at someone else. Oh, look at that guy over there. Oh, I'm going to scrutinize him. Well, that's easy. And you know, there's a time for that. This didn't show up on the overhead, and I apologize for that. But there are verses in the Bible, for example, 1 John 4, 1, Revelation 2, verse 2, where the Bible says that we are to test others to see if they are teaching truth or not. Ephesus, Revelation 2, 2, they tested other apostles to see if they were apostles or not. So there's time. There's plenty of time to test others. And we're supposed to do that from time to time. But this morning we're looking at ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul wanted them to look at themselves. In fact, Matthew read this earlier around the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, turn back to that passage where Matthew read around the Lord's table. He said to prove yourselves, to discern yourselves. You need to think about self when you're taking the Lord's Supper. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, you are to prove your own selves. There's a time and a place to look at someone else, but not this morning. We're not looking at someone else at this time. We're looking at ourselves. And you know one of the best questions to ask every day? Turn over to Matthew 26 and verse 22. Do you remember when Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper there, and they're eating the supper there in the upper room, the Passover meal? And he says, one of you who is sitting at meat with me is going to betray me. Do you remember the question that the disciples asked? This is a great question that each of us would do well to ask every day of our life. What did they ask? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? That's a great question. We're not going to be thinking about anybody else. Am I the one that's going to do that? And so there's a time and a place for us to look at our own selves. And that's what we want to do this morning. And here's why. Here's the need. Here's the importance. Do you know how powerful you really are? Have you ever thought about this? Do you know how powerful you really are? Do you know that your own self can resist the devil? Now, how powerful is that? That is extremely powerful. Here's the devil who's powerful, and you can resist him and he'll leave you, James says. That tells me that self is very powerful. It can even separate you from God. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, Jesus said that if we follow him and hear him and follow him, we'll be protected by God. No one can snatch us out of God's hand. But we can stop hearing and we can stop following. That's how powerful we are. Who can keep you out of heaven? Who can keep you out of heaven? You. Who can keep you out of hell? You. That's how powerful you are. And with that much power, we need to examine ourselves. It's extremely important that we do that very thing. We need to constantly examine ourselves because we have something that is more powerful than the devil. The very thing that can keep us out of heaven. So that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. We have to constantly check ourselves. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul said that you who are spiritual, restore such a one if someone is overtaken in a trespass. But then he says, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Looking to yourself. And isn't that one of the hardest things to do? What we see in the world today, and Dave was telling me a little bit about this before services, there's always individuals that want to make excuses and just continue in wrong behavior. They don't want to look at themselves. They don't want to examine themselves and make necessary changes. It's all about excuse making and, well, you know how that is and all that kind of thing. We need to look at ourselves. And that's what we want to do this morning. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Try or examine your own selves. Look at this. Whether you are in the faith. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is the standard or the measurement that we use to examine ourselves. What is the standard or the measurement? If I want to pass a bar exam, if I want to pass a medical exam, there is a measurement or a standard out there that's not determined by me. Other professionals have determined that, and then I have to pass that. So there is a measurement or a standard. What is it? Well, look at verse 5. In the faith. Are you in the faith? The faith is the body of teaching of the New Testament. So let's talk a little bit this morning about what is not the measurement. First of all, we're not the measurement. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. We don't decide if self is good. Stop and think about that. If we were the measurement of our own selves, we would all come out with shining colors, wouldn't we? We'd all come out great. If Chris is measuring Chris, Chris is going to look pretty good, right? We don't even use ourselves. And that's what people in the world want to do. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them, look at this, that commend themselves. But they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves with themselves are without understanding. We're not going to be like that, Paul said. These other false teachers and apostles, they do that kind of thing, and they come out looking great. Why? Because they're measuring themselves by themselves. And whenever we do that, we always come out great, but that's not the measurement. Look down at verse 18 at the end of the chapter. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's the measurement. Am I passing God's word? That's the standard. That's the measurement. It's not the person who commends himself. So number one, we're not going to use ourselves as the measurement. Let me see it. Am I doing okay today? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. No, I'm going to let the Lord tell me through His Word if I'm doing right or wrong. So we're not going to use ourselves. Number two, we're not going to use the praise of others because we can always get others to tell us how good we are. We get around our friends, around our family, around our buddies. They're all going to approve of our behavior. Right? It's easy to find someone to praise us. Turn with me to Luke 16 and verse 15. The scribes and Pharisees could find people, their friends and their family and those who they spent time with to tell them how great they were. Jesus said, Luke 16 and verse 15, He said unto them, You are they that justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You justify yourselves in the sight of men. You get people who will tell you you're right. You remember those occasions, different places in the Gospels where it talked about people who feared doing something because they were going to be cast out of the synagogue, the blind man's parents in John 9, things like that. What are people going to think and say? You know, and so, if you can get people to like you and praise you, they're going to pat you on the back and say how great you are. Oh, that's okay if you're doing such and such. That's okay. It's okay if you cuss a little bit. Come on. We all tell lies. We all drink a little bit. If you don't go to church, that's fine. That's okay. You'll always find someone to justify your behavior. And so people will surround themselves by that type of group and they feel great. But that's not the standard of measurement. Some people, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll just go to a church where the guy preaches it the way I want to hear it, and I'm going to come out every Sunday morning looking great. Why does Joel Osteen preach to 20, 30,000 people? Why? Because he, by his own admission, has said, I don't use the word sin in my sermon. Woohoo! Yeah, everybody likes to flock to that church. So we get feel-good preaching, and we get someone who won't be firm with us and pointed with us. We don't want a Jeremiah. We don't want that. And we don't want a Paul or anybody like that. We just want somebody who will tickle our ears, and we've got itching ears. And so the text says, heaping to themselves men who will preach it the way they want to hear it. And so we can purposely, and don't just think about like a preacher in a pulpit, but going to someone for advice. You know, sometimes people at work will do that. Well, I'm not living right. I need to get some advice. And so they'll go find people who will tell them that they're okay. Oh, it's okay if you divorce for any cause. That, you know, that happens. And, you know, I know you drink, but that's okay. We all drink. And so you surround yourself by counselors and people giving advice, or preachers or others who are just going to let you stay in the way you want to stay. They will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. The way I want it, I'm going to get a guy to tell me the way I want it, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. So we're not going to use that standard. And we're not just simply going to go by outward appearances. Well, I go to a Church of Christ building on Sundays, and so I'm good to go. First, we go to Matthew chapter 13. And we even saw this in Jeremiah recently. What were the Israelites saying? The temple! The temple! Woo! We go into the temple, and so we're fine. No. What are you inwardly? Inwardly, they had sin in their life. So in Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones. Well, I'm just going to judge things by the outward appearance. No, inwardly. Even so, outwardly appear righteous unto men, and get a pat on the back. But inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So this is not the standard, brethren. Or you might be able to think of some other things. We're not going to use this as the measurement or the standard. And so number one, our measurement, our standard, is not something subjective inside ourselves. We're not going to use something inside of ourselves to say, I'm okay. That's not it. Subjective means inside, subject, inside, and we're not going to commend ourselves with ourselves. We're not going to measure ourselves with ourselves. Neither are we going to turn to friends and others who will say, you're okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. We're not going to turn to people on the outside of us because people always change. The word relative means change. That's not relative like he's my cousin relative. It's relative in the sense of always changing, never fixed. So we're not going to turn to our friends and family and people at work and that type of thing because they're never fixed. You'll always hear different things. And so look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Look at that. I judge not my own self. I don't use this standard up here, me. And I don't even use you, Corinthians, as a standard. Well, then who in the world will judge him? Verse 4, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not here justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be you. It's going to be the Lord. We're going to use an objective standard of God and His Word. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. The Bible never changes. So we always go to the Word of God to find the answer for how we are living each day. We're not going to use ourselves. That's subjective. We're not going to use others. That's relative. We're going to use the Word of God. So it is the Lord who judges us. Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but Jehovah trieth the hearts. We're going to let God be our judge in His Word. And so I like what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Approved of God. Study to show yourself approved of God. Not approved of self. or approved of others, but approved of God. What does God say about me? Now, so the first thing we want to learn this morning is the measurement. The measurement, the standard, is God and His Word. The second thing that we want to learn this morning is every test or exam has questions, right? Tests and exams have questions. So the second thing we want to consider this morning is, what's on the exam? What are the questions? There are three of them. Number one, am I in the faith? The faith is used in the New Testament to mean the body of New Testament teaching. Am I faithfully living within the boundaries of God's Word? Well, the only way I can know that is I've got to be reading God's Word and hearing God's Word. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. The first question on the test is, am I in the faith? Am I living within the boundaries of the faith? Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. That means contend for the New Testament teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, turn with me there. We have to take care of our teaching and our lives. Is it according to the Word of God? We can always find someone out in the world to condone what we're doing, but does the Bible condone what we're doing, you see? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Earlier, Paul had told Timothy to give heed to reading, the reading of Scripture. There's a lot in 1 and 2 Timothy about Timothy's relationship to the Word, the Scripture, studying it, see, preaching it, living by it, you see. So number one, am I in the faith? Am I living within the boundaries of God's Word? Number two, here's the second question on the test or the exam. Is Christ in me? Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul says, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. That's the first one. Or know you not as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you? Now look at who he's writing to and think about this for a minute. Why does Paul say this at the end of the second letter? Did Corinth, were folks at Corinth acting like faithful Christians? Well, read 1 Corinthians. There was division. They were coming in and some of them were not observing the Lord's Supper properly. Matthew talked about that. There was problems in marriage, 1 Corinthians 7. Some were taking others to court, 1 Corinthians 6. There was a fornicating brother who had his father's wife, and nobody's doing anything about it. Is that Christ-like? 1 Corinthians 5. There was division, 1 Corinthians 1 through 4. You just go through the book. And lo and behold, you get chapter 15, and some of them didn't believe in the resurrection anymore. Is that Christ-like? They had all kinds of problems. And so at the end of the second letter, Paul reminds them, hey, you folks need to examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Well, we come to a Church of Christ building, Paul. What's the big deal? Well, yeah, you're coming, 1 Corinthians 11, but you're not coming with the right attitude and the right heart, and there's division among you. So he's reminding them of what it's really like to look at yourself. Are you in the faith? Number two, is Christ in you? And that's the second question that we want to look at. Number one, am I walking within the boundaries of God's Word each day? Number two, is Christ in me? There are many passages that tell us that Jesus is in us, not in some mystical or magical or mysterious kind of way, but as His influence is in us, as His Word is in us, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me, Galatians 2:20. The Spirit of Christ in me, Romans 8:9. Jesus making His abode in us, John 14:23. So when I say things and think things and do things, is that what Jesus would say and think and do? And if the answer is no, then I'm not passing the test. If the answer is yes, then I am. Am I thinking as Jesus thought? Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. The New American Standard says, have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ. We have to be thinking. We have to have the mind or the attitude of Jesus in us each day. And he gives a specific example of that in verses 6, 7, and 8 about coming to sacrifice on the cross and so forth. But it would apply to a lot of things. Do we have the mind and the attitude of Christ in us? You see, here's the second question on the exam. Am I acting as he acted? Turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. When I was out yesterday, was I acting as Jesus acted? How about the day before? How about last Thursday? Did you act as Jesus would act? You see, just go back through maybe this past week and think about some things. What you said, what you thought about, what you did, where you went, those types of things you see. In 1 John 4, 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He who is not of God heareth us not. By this we know... that should actually be 1 John chapter 2. I'm sorry. 1 John 2 in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him, that's Christ, ought himself also to walk even as he, Christ, walked. We have to walk as Christ walked. 1 John 2, verse 6. And then the third question on the test, and it's really kind of a short test, just three questions. I remember in school, the teacher would say, well, it's not a very long test. There's only three questions. Well, the problem with that is, you know, they're weighted pretty heavily, right? 33% apiece, roughly. Wow, just three questions. That's awesome. But the problem is they're weighted pretty heavily. Just three questions. Number one, am I in the faith? Am I walking within the boundaries of the New Testament? Number two, is Christ really in me in the way I speak and think and act? And then number three, am I a reprobate? You don't hear that word much today. You used to hear it a lot. Reprobate. Well, he's a reprobate. What does that mean? Matthew's version said, failed the test. It's a Greek word that means it's that second word that we looked at earlier on the chart with the A in front of it. Ah, dokimazo, not passing the test, failing the test. Ah, dokimoi, meaning not standing the test, not approved. It doesn't pass. And we have manufacturing, for example, and this thing is going down the manufacturing line, and there's test points along the way. And if it doesn't pass the test, then it's yanked off the assembly line. We can't put it out to the public. It's not passing the test. And as we go through life, some are not passing the test. They're unfit. And so what? You just throw it in the box. Throw it in the rejection bin. David knows about that with tires. Not all tires pass the test. You don't want to put that on and it blows out and kills somebody. You throw it away. Recycle it. Do something else. But we're not going to sell it to the public. It doesn't pass the test. And so we have to ask each day, am I passing or not? And if I'm not, I'm unfit for the Lord's kingdom. I'm going to be rejected in the judgment day. And this word is found in a few places in the New Testament. It's used in Romans 1:28 of people who want to live an evil life any way they want. Do you know of anybody like that? Sure. It's used in 1 Corinthians 9:27 about people who are not running the Christian race properly. It's used in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8 about Christians who fall away and they don't want to repent. They don't want to make a change. It's used in 2 Peter 3:8 and Titus 1:16 about people who claim to have godliness, but really they're a reprobate. They might think that they're fine. Their friends might think that they're fine. But the measurement that is used is God, and he says, nope, you're unfit. You're rejected. You're not passing the test. And so we've got to take it very seriously. And that's why I want to close with this point then. We have to take this examination seriously. Turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 25. We have to honestly look into the mirror of God's Word. Have you ever heard an expression like, look at yourself in the mirror or something like that? That's what self-examination is all about. Each day we need to open up our Bible and look into the mirror, and the mirror does not lie. Wouldn't it be neat if you got up really early in the morning and you went and looked in the mirror and it it just sort of magically beautified you, and you didn't have to know that the mirror never lies. Whether it's my hair messed up or whatever the case might be, it always tells the truth. And when we look into the mirror of God's Word, it always tells the truth. And so we have to honestly look into the light of God's Word. James 1:25, he that looketh into the perfect law. The word looketh into there literally is to peer intently into. It's not just walk by the mirror and take a passing glance and keep going. But you sit there and you just look at yourself. You ever done that in a mirror? You just get right up real close and you're just looking. Something that you want to fix on your face before you step out. That's the word look into. It's to peer intently, to scrutinize, to study carefully. He that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, be not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. And he likens it in verse 23 as in looking in a mirror. God's word is like a mirror. We've got to look into it and be honest about that. And if we need to make changes, we need to make changes and not excuses. Here's a second thing that we can do to properly examine ourselves. Always choose good associations who are going to help you bring your life in line with God's Word and not take you farther away. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, walk with the wise men and thou shalt be wise. But the companion of fools shall smart for it. Don't surround yourself by people who are going to just, oh yeah, keep doing what you're doing, you're fine. But walk with people who walk with God's Word, and they might from time to time say, well, you got this spiritual blemish you need to work on, and you got this spiritual imperfection you need to make a change, and that's going to help us. But we're not going to surround ourselves by people who, oh, you're fine, just keep doing what you're doing. We should appreciate someone who will come to us and with God's Word tell us the truth. Number three, a third thing that we can do to properly examine ourselves is to always think on right things that come from God's Word. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Whatever is true and honest and just and right, think on these things. Keep our mind set on those things. And then a fourth thing that we can do, and it's really a very practical thing, turn with me to Psalm chapter 4. And I say this because of our world of noise and movement and always jumping around, always making noise. Do you know that it seems like there are fewer and fewer people in our society who can just sit still and be quiet? There's always has to be moving. Look at a commercial today. There is always movement. You cannot see one thing on TV without something. And even if it's just two people talking on the news in the background, there's a banner moving. You ever ask yourself why? Why is that? It has nothing to do with what they're saying. It has nothing to do with what they're selling. It's just moving. Just moving, and something will move up this way, something will move that. We got to have movement. The problem with that is, we can't sit still and just think about ourselves in light of God's Word. Moving. Look at Psalm 4 and verse 4. Pick some time during the day, seek some solitude where you can get off in some quiet place and time and commune about yourself with God. And how it is with God. Well, wait a minute. I've always got noise on the TV. My phone's always going off. I got to do this. I got to do that. Well, no, you can and must. So the psalmist says in Psalm 4 and verse 4, stand in awe. Well, wait, I don't stand still. I got to be moving. No, stand still and have some respect and awe. Stand still and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Why say all of that? Because we need that each day to really think about our life. If you never do that, then you never have to face yourself anywhere along the way, and you just coast through like, ooh, everything's fine. I'm all fine. And then in the judgment day, we find, well, we weren't fine. So the psalmist says bed. Okay, that's a great place. Do you think there's at least one time during the day where we can be still? And yeah, when we crawl in bed at night, even if it's then, use that time just to... Am I right with God? And pray. Keep a Bible by your bed. Maybe look at a verse. Am I right with God? No noise. No work. No family response. I'm in my bed. I'm thinking about God. Or somewhere else. But seek that solitude to quietly and introspectively examine self. Self-examination is the first step in doing what is right. What did the prodigal son do? He thought on his way. And when he came to himself, it's the first step in making our life right with God. Are you approved or disapproved? God is the judge, and his word is the measurement. Let us examine ourselves in light of that. Do you know, there were tests in school that I got an F on. Maybe you've experienced that. And in the long run, it really didn't probably change anything in my life. But listen, you and I cannot afford to fail this exam. This is one exam you cannot fail to afford to fail. Our eternal destiny depends upon it. Did you ever have a teacher that let you retake an exam? That was pretty cool, wasn't it? You just blew it. Okay, I'll let you retake it on Monday. That was nice. But there's no retakes. There's no do-overs. In the judgment day, that's it. And so Paul is telling us, each day we take it now, so that we stand one day in the judgment day ready to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we don't just blow it now each day, not worrying about it, and then get up there and say, "Well, I want to retake it." Nope. You had your life to take it. I had my life. So let's examine ourselves this morning. And I hope that that will help us and encourage us to be faithful to the Lord. Let's all walk out of the building this morning. Number one, in the faith, Jesus Christ is in me, and I'm not a reprobate. I'm not failing that test. I am faithfully following God's word. If we can help you along those lines, if you need to begin that test taking by obeying the scriptures properly, or if we need to come back in some way, now is a great time to think about ourselves. And it's nice that we live in a land that has the freedom to come into a quiet building. We don't have to worry about a lot of the distractions that are in the world. And each time we come into a building, and even at home, we can do this, where we can just seek to look at self in light of God's word and make those necessary changes. And if we can help you to do that this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?